You are listening to Legion of Substitute Podcasters, episode 192, School for Supervillains. And welcome to episode 192 of Legion of Substitute Podcasters. I'm Paul French, and today I'm quiet weekend lad. The girls were off to our nation's capital out there in Ottawa for the weekend, and so it's been very quiet around here, just the dog and I.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's very quiet.
Quiet? Mm-hmm. No wild parties?
Dude, quiet. It's been beautiful. It's been a beautiful thing.
What's this?
I was expecting risky business up in that bitch.
All right. Well, I did play old time rock and roll at one point, but you know,
in your underwear.
Oh yeah, of course.
Okay.
When wives are away, I just assume people are underwear at all times.
What's this?
What?
When wives are away, I just assume people walk around in underwear.
Absolutely. Strip down to the waist, eating a brick of cheese. Oh, sorry, that's George. it's a whole Seinfeld night, folks. You'll see. And anyway, that's me, Darren.
It's the summer of George.
I don't know what to say to that. I am never walking away from the internet again, kid, because apparently when I do, you people are out of control. There.
Oh, you people, he says.
You people know who I mean. You people out there.
That's all.
He's anti-dentite.
I'm anti a lot of crap right now, okay? Kramer?
Yes. But Kramer is...
Not you.
It's actually. Not me.
It's not so confusing.
Which is very confusing. It's like Earth 1 and Earth 2.
We're going to end up having to explain this now.
Worlds collide. I'm Matt Kramer, and this week I am bike boy because Sarah got a new bike over the weekend, and I am going to be dragging mine out of the basement for the first time in a couple years since hers broke. Yes. So looking forward to actually getting out on the road this summer.
Oh, yeah.
How long is summer up there?
Oh, it's not summer yet.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Feels like it.
Moving on.
Got about a week and a half.
That's right.
Until
22nd, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about the actual turning of the season. It's been summer here since like end of April.
So I think it was in the 90s here today.
Wow, that is summer to me. Yeah.
You too.
Yeah. It's been stinking hot. It's awesome.
And I am Scott Coles, and today I am jam-packed weekend lad.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you've all had the quiet weekend. I had the not so much.
You were packing jam, correct?
Jam? Yeah. yes?
Just making sure.
You said jam-packed.
Is this code?
Jam-packed.
Oh, I get it.
See?
5 miles down the road.
It's not as clever a cipher as you're thinking, Scott.
I know.
It's right there in front of your face.
So yeah, exactly. No, it's just we've been working 6 day weeks at the work there for a bit, so the weekends have been fairly non-existent. But still, this weekend I managed to fit in a Riverside picnic date night with the wife and roller derby.
Oh, yeah, roller derby.
Walking around and visiting friends with my mobile party unit. It's a cooler that has a handle and wheels.
Nice.
So, all in all, we had a pretty good weekend. And now we're doing this, which is awesome as well. Well,
yeah.
She's naked upstairs, but what are you going to do?
Answer that.
As usual, my naked wife leaves them speechless. Excellent.
Exactly.
Especially Darren.
She's so not gonna listen to this one.
I am hardly ever speechless, but lately, yes.
All right. So, so Legion news-wise, there's not much except Legion Lost number 10 comes out this week, and so we'll get to see what DeFalco is going to do post crossover.
The afterbirth of the Dulling. So.
Yeah. Well, I think most of that little placental remnants has been relegated to the Ravagers.
I hope so.
Our guys got sent away in a time bubble, and who knows
Which
where
they should
they'll
be
end
used
up.
To by now. It's very quantum leap.
Yeah, exactly. So they've been sent off, and I guess we'll find out where they're at.
I didn't read it, but I heard from people I trust that the Ravagers was actually not bad.
Not exactly.
Ooh, not bad. I'm going to rush out and buy it right now.
Thank you.
Well, I expected it to just be a steaming pile of crap.
Yeah. So not bad is...
What did they think of the Dulling?
Not fans.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, that's a bit more encouraging. I haven't got to it yet. Considering my feelings on the Dulling overall, it's kind of worked its way a bit further down the pile. So I'm still getting caught up on Animal Man and Swamp Thing. So
it's been so good lately.
Yeah, and the annual was incredible.
How good is it?
The annual was awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I read it this morning. It's fantastic.
I am not caught up on Animal Man. I'm so pissed off.
You'll dig where he's going there. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. Mm-hmm. And as is Swamp Thing.
The annual was done right. It was a story that adds to the background, but you don't have to read it.
Exactly. It's like a little chunk out of the story, and yeah, I mean it's. I think it's going to leave. I think it's going to end up playing out quite a bit in the book, but it's just
definitely.
But it, you know, again, just a really well written, well drawn comic, and it was a great story. And I don't want to spoil anything because Scott's not caught up.
Yes, please.
Because you will thoroughly enjoy this. I feel certain. And
Kaiser, so say, is
dude.
Guy. I didn't spoil it.
Don't be that guy who says that Rosebud is the sled. Damn it!
No, not again.
Sigh.
Indeed. So,
Luke, I am your father. Wait, that's improbable.
Me fail English? That's impossible. All right. So, we got a two-parter to look at.
We do. Ooh. We have two parts. Of a much better story than the one we just did. Wow.
Is that difficult?
It's a low bar to cross.
It is a low bar to cross, yes. Let's admit that first all.
So I'll go through the first part, and then someone else can pick up on the second. But this, of course, we already did the other story from Adventure Comics number 371, which was when Superboy walked out of the Legion.
Because he got a better date.
Yeah. And, that was...
it was bad.
Personally, I think it was only tangentially a Legion story, but...
Yeah, it was... They were in, like, four panels tops.
It was like old school Legion, right?
Yeah. It was a Superboy story where the Legion just kind of was there...
Well, except for the fact that Superboy's a Legionnaire, so technically any story he's in is a Legion story.
Well, this is true. This is true. Thank you, semantic lad.
Yeah.
All right. So we start this off with a little splash panel of Colossal Boy leaning on the Shades of the Spirit, leaning on the title The Colossal Failure. And Ultra Boy's telling him, yeah, you're out. And even Bouncing Boy is looking at him with disdain. So we get to Evening Falling Over Metropolis in 2968. You know, and everyone's doing, you know, you got your commuters going back and forth in their flying cars. And Superboy and Shrinking Violet are seeing Colossal Boy off. He hops into his car. a very mod-looking flying car.
Mm-hmm. Very Jetson-y.
Yeah, very much. And he gets home, and Mama Allen is computer synthesizing dinner. and so they have dinner, and looks like the Admiral's there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this guy, Curl Jenkins, from Universe TV. And the network wants to do a documentary on the Legion. Of course, now this would be a reality series. You know, the Colossal Kardashians or whatever.
Run.
So they bring...
You mean Chloe then, right?
Oh. Oh.
Snap! So you know, he's just like, yeah, okay, come on in. Like you do.
Yeah, because, you know, they're the press. You always let them in without asking what they're really
going
to
do. Yeah, exactly, exactly. So they set up the 3D camera and the ultra recorder.
Which looks really a lot like what's in your... Which TV stations of the day. That's
yeah, yeah. Which of course, the ultra recorder can only record one thing at a time. And this is going to be on galaxy-wide TV, and Colossal Boy is thinking, hey, this is pretty good. So they ask him how he got his unique power of supergrowth, and he tells them about the being on Mars on summer vacation and getting exposed to the radiation from the glowing meteor, and then they aim the camera at Mom and Dad and say, how did you feel when you found out he made the Legion? And this is at this point, Colossal Boy notices, hey, those 3D receptors seem to be giving off rays. And instantly, they're turned. Mom and Dad are turned into glass.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Took the guy says, excellent, Gorko, the rays worked well. And he says, it took longer than expected, Palor. I thought something was wrong. And so... So Colossal Boy is understandably upset. He says, you know, what have you done to them? Answer me, I'll take you apart. So they, it turns out that this, the ultra recorder, this little lighting unit, or whatever it is actually a blaster. So they're holding it on him. And he says, it turns out they're not actually dead.
They're not dead yet.
Basically, it's his mom's brooch, and this has popped up a lot, hasn't it?
The
life jewel. So, and this isn't the first time we've seen it either.
This is the first time.
Oh,
we've
it
seen
is
it.
Okay. Guess it just seemed familiar. Okay, probably because we read a story a little while back that was a later story.
Marte gave Yura a life gem.
Yep.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. Yeah. And the look who's coming to dinner kind of thing. Mm-hmm. All right. So it always grows red while the owner lives. And so he says, basically, your parents are alive.
But they won't be for long.
Exactly. Cooperate or smashy, smashy.
Smashy, smashy.
He says, so the group we represent is interested in the Legion training and testing program. And we want to know the exact details. And he said, well, that's classified. And and they say, well, you know, unclassify it. He's like, yeah, you know, there were certain procedures when I joined, but they've been modernized since then. And he's like, oh, no, Palor, we blundered. We failed. He says, we must have the information. If he doesn't know, he can find out. So they say, we'll give you 2 weeks. If you have what we want, you'll get back your parents. If not, you get shattered glass. So it turns out the ultra recorder is actually a teleporter. They vanish. So he's understandably upset. And so he's thinking, you know, how can I steal the info? You know, he hasn't got powers like Invisible Kid where he can go in and get it. And he can't shape
the espionage squad is what you're saying?
No,
yeah, basically.
No, Colossal Boy is really not that handy on the stealth.
So it's like, maybe I can crash a space a cruiser into
If I crash a cruiser into the building, maybe I can learn something. No, I don't think so.
No. So so what he decides to do is he says, you know, the Legion Constitution says that if you fail in your duties, you must submit to retraining. So he said,
duties. You said duties.
It's true. He says, if I could retrain, I'd gain the info firsthand. So he decides that's what he's going to do. So the next morning, they get an emergency at Metro Square, and off they go to see this emergency, and there's some crooks who have flooded Metro Square.
Wow, and, really?
Yep.
For any particular reason? Oh, so they can rob places.
Exactly.
Yeah, they can breathe underwater, so it makes it very easy for them to get down there and the science police not to, so...
Good.
But fortunately, Ultra Boy brought the Legionnaires' diving gear, so he hooks them all up with it. And of course, first one to screw up is Bouncing Boy, who tries to use his super bouncing underwater. So they get him, and they're headed towards Colossal Boy, and so Colossal Boy says, "I'll stop them." And he's like, "Oops." And they think, "Oh, he's never been so clumsy." And so the crooks get away. Oh, and then he bumps into Big Old Memorial Arch and
St. Louis.
And
so wouldn't Bouncing Boy float? I mean,
that's what I would figure.
Isn't he a flotation device at this point?
You'd think so.
I would think so.
You would think, wouldn't you?
I guess we're assuming that when he does his shape change, it's air on the inside. Maybe it's something else.
Ew. It's all
maybe
flutes.
It's like a super ball.
He just gets really dense.
Yeah. Super cheese. Happy fun ball.
It's all cheese.
It's all cheese. It's all string cheese out of the can.
Fortunately, the science police are there and they can nab the crooks. I guess because you couldn't have it in the story, we actually let criminals really get away.
Not here. It's Comics Code time. You know that.
Exactly. So he says, "Well, they're like, well, it's a good thing no one was hurt or killed." And he's, you know, what would have happened if someone's life had depended on your catching that ship? And so they say, "Well, it's dangerous business. Can't afford mistakes like that." And as new Legion leader, I order you to report for retraining tomorrow morning at 8. And does Bouncing Boy get put in as well? Because you know, he.
No, just Gim. Bouncing Boy, though, notices that Gim is very happy with this new turn of events, however.
Yeah. So off they go to the Legionnaire training quarters, and we see a whole bunch of people in training uniforms. No special costumes allowed here.
Oh, no.
And so we see a whole bunch of people back and forth on all kinds of acrobatic gear, and when they see them going All-American Gladiators down in the bottom.
And this is obviously before Duo Damsel and Bouncing Boy basically took over as head of Gym
Absolutely,
Academies.
Absolutely. And so they say, you know, Legionnaires must not only possess physical power, but mental skill too. And one guy turns to Colossal Boy and says, "Man, I hope we make the Legion, don't you?" And he says, "Huh? Oh, yeah, me too." So he says, "Turn in your training manuals after school. They contain classified information." So they do a thing that tests reflexes of, you know, sort of dangerous situations to measure your reaction time. Then they have self-defense.
Oh, hang on. Sorry. If anyone's reading the actual issue of this one, after this page, there's an ad for a Aurora model kit of the Pan Am Space Clipper from 2001.
Nice.
It's only a dollar.
It's only a dollar?
Oh, wow. Order it.
I buy that for
now, kids.
I wonder if it comes with a functional HAL.
I'm sorry.
All HALs should be functional.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So yeah, self-defense class.
Self-defense class. Woohoo.
Karate Kid is off duty today, so I said duty. So Bouncing Boy has hopped down to show them some real fighting. And they're all saying, "Bouncing Boy," and he says, "In the flesh, lots of it."
Hello, look at that.
So they've got the poles, the gladiator pole kind of things, set to stun.
Wouldn't it be amazing if American Gladiators actually got their show ideas from this issue?
Seriously. Well,
I'm having flashbacks to 1992 here. So.
Absolutely. His first opponent is some guy named Kondo Arlek.
Woohoo! Finally!
Yeah.
Oh my god! Taken how many years to get to him?
So here we go. Chemical King.
He dies.
Hey,
dude, don't spoil
it. 7.
They didn't want you to get too attached to him before.
I need to go. I've had a very emotionally scarring week.
Oh, my.
Any trains are involved.
So, anyway, so Colossal Boy kind of takes him out, and then they... You know what? They kind of look alike, and I'm just getting a bit confused by the coloring.
I know. Chemical King takes him out.
Okay, yeah. So Chemical King knocks him down, and Bouncing Boy's like, I don't understand what's going on. He said, he says something's wrong. You've been working too hard. You don't need this training. You need a good rest. Maybe I can get you a vacation. And he says, no, I can. I want to be retrained. Still in good shape. So he shows them by bending a magnanium steel bar.
And that's odd because Colossal Boy's not usually strong at his normal height, and he's stronger than he would normally be. So that's kind of an error.
Yeah, his giant strength, as Bouncing Boy calls it. So so the Legionnaires are talking. It's Brainy and Saturn Girl and Bouncing Boy, and they're trying to figure out what's going on with them. And he says, you know, Saturn Girl, maybe you couldn't. She says, nope. You know, I took a vow not to use my power to pry into other members' affairs. And so Bouncing Boy says, well, I guess it's all up to me. So they're doing flight ring drills the next day. And there's a missile catching up to them. And so Bouncing Boy, meanwhile, is in, he sneaks into the Allen's apartment and... realizes that nobody seems to be home, so he snoops around a bit, knocks over a table, and finds the life jewel. And he remembers the life jewel. He's seen it before. And he says, well, I better get out of here before she shows up. And he's thinking she must be around because she wouldn't go anywhere without the life jewel.
Uh-huh.
And then he looks and he finds the training manual. And illegal notes on training procedures and drawings of the equipment. And he thinks, Jim's sold out. So next day at training HQ, he's holding the big, huge barbell, again, at his normal strength. And the professor says, Alan, come here. And so Bouncing Boy says, I'm sorry, but I had to tell. And he says, what's going on? And Superboy comes in with Ultra Boy to place him under arrest for stealing top secret data and conspiring against the Legion. And so he's in his detention cell, and Brainy is going to be his defense attorney.
Okay. Yeah, like that you need.
Yeah, yeah. He said, you know, tell me why you did this. It's your only chance. And he says, forget it. And he says, if you change your mind before morning, call me. There's nothing I can do without your cooperation. So the next day, court is in session, and
the Honorable Ultra Boy presiding.
Yeah,
seriously?
No. Stop now! I'm in enough trouble.
What do with hammer?
Right, I'm gonna get
me am Thor.
So anyway, they say, you know, hey, okay, so he's not confiding in Brainy. So Brainy says, I guess he wants to defend himself, so I'm out. So they proceed with the charges. He is charged with treason and spying. The prosecution will prove that he willfully stole secret documents and collected confidential information in a conspiracy against the Legion.
C-O-N-spiracy, my brothers.
Yeah, now we haven't seen, you know, there's no evidence that there's anyone else involved yet, but... So I don't know that they can make a conspiracy charge.
That's
so
never
he shows
stopped the Legion before.
Yeah, exactly. He says, "Here's the notes and drawings, and his fingerprints are in the book." And so he says, "Yeah, have an explanation." And he says, "I dare not tell them while Mom and Dad are in the hands of those rats."
Oh, those ready rats.
Those dirty rats. So he says, I got nothing to say. They say, okay, you're guilty. You're expelled from the Legion.
Guilty! You leave with no choice. You find you guilty.
Oh, my God. We're going to get letters.
Stacks and stacks.
Only one at a time.
Oh my God. Paul, get us out of this story.
All right. So he says, Ultra Boy says that Colossal Boy is a disgrace to the Legion. The towering team leaves. And you see him walking down the hall toward the door, and he must be out of the Legion. They're never gonna let him back in again.
Right.
Never.
Oh,
never,
no.
Ever.
This is terrible. It's terrible. All right, so that's the end of part one. So
terrible. Who's
taking us through part two?
Well, before we get to part two, it's nice to see Bouncing Boy get kind of a role that normally would be a Cam role.
Definitely.
You know, investigating the stuff that's going on with his teammate. So that was kind of nice to see.
And it was nice to see him be more than, you kind of wonder.
More
the beginning.
Comedy relief.
Exactly. And at the beginning, I thought that's the way it was going to go because he gets that, you know, don't use your power underwater thing. And, I was like, oh, silly Bouncing Boy.
Silly Bouncing Boy. So who's doing number two? Me? Or does Kramer want to do it? Who did last week? I forgot.
I did last week.
All right. Well, I'll do part two then, since it's Chemical King.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly.
There we go. So we have a cover of we see a very strapping man with a big mallet, basically a crash through a glass statue of Superboy, to the horror of what looks like Lone Wolf, Colossal Boy, and Cam back there. And the splash page features Tales of the Legion of Superheroes, the school for supervillains. The teacher is Colossal Boy. And there's Colossal Boy going, look at these faces. Remember them. They are your enemies. And we see Cam, Superboy, Ultra Boy, and Shrinking Violet up there on a little roll call. And we see some interesting faces down there. That is Ron Carr on the left.
Oh, yeah.
Kid.
Oh, yeah, Ron Carr.
Yeah. Nemesis Kid is next to him. Then Radiation Roy, I believe, and Spider Girl does whatever a Spider Girl does. So, Colossal Boy's been kicked out of the Legion. Well, what a freaking doodah shock, right? And we get a little playback of what happened, of course. And the Science Police are snapping him out of his little revelry because guess what? It's a federal United Planets offense to betray the Legion and be a traitor. So just because the Legion lets you walk out doesn't mean that they're going to let you go. So
really?
So Gim's got to use his powers to get away from them. And so here comes the Legion going, blast, he still has a Legion flight ring. Ah.
We forgot to take that away.
No. Well, that's what happens when you put Ultra Boy in charge of the court.
I knew you were going to go there. I knew it. Just do it. So they're doing a little investigating and they discover the life jewel pendant again because Gim dropped it. Meanwhile, Gim is trying to get out of town, you know, on the lam in that big green, yellow, red costume of his. It's not really working very well. So he gets kind of hooked into the hoods that kidnapped his mom and dad, and they're like, okay, since you got kicked out of the Legion for doing this, we need you to come with us, and we need to teach our guys how to do what Legionnaires do.
Basically. I'm sorry, there's one thing that we kind of glossed over. Notice the newspaper.
The Computo News.
Oh, the Computo News.
Yes, some of that circuitry
got used,
apparently.
Computo.
Don't you? Everyone should trust Computo.
And it looks a little bit like Bender from... from Futurama, so
he's just not drinking a beer.
I trust Bender as much as I trust
Computo. Seriously,
the Computo News is actually what eventually evolves out of Bleeding Cool.
Oh. Damn.
Hey, they do have Computo the Link Conqueror, so
there you go.
They've already started. Mm-hmm.
Have they now? That's pretty impressive. So we see. Bouncing Boy and Ultra Boy show up at the Allen's home looking for Ma and Pa Allen, presumably. They are not in, but the nosy next-door neighbor, Mrs. Perkins, otherwise known as Mrs. Kravitz, says, well, they've not been here for ages. I don't know what's going on with them. So the Legion figures out something must be going on with Colossal Boy that he's not telling anybody. What a shock. It took them this long to figure it out. Okay. So the only clue is the life jewel. And, of course, Brainy's like, ooh, I think I can do something with that. It would look fabulous with this overall set. So they take the life
jewel. Brainy's Tim Gunn all of a sudden?
Basically, yes. They take the life jewel down to the multi-lab, and they have Shrinking Violet suit up. And basically how the life jewel works is it creates a connection between the jewel and the heartbeat of the person who wears it. So there's a connection between the two always, and it's very, very subatomic. And so Shrinking Violet is going to ride that subatomic photon particle off to go see wherever Ms. Allen is.
Ooh.
And so we get some very neat artwork here with her going into the actual life jewel and figuring things out and how they work. And so she follows it all, and she follows, and she follows, and she follows. And then she winds up at basically a fortress area, and she sneaks in underneath the door, and she sees a duplication of the Legion Academy, basically. And she's like, what's going on here? Because that's not right. And turns out there's a guy there named Tarek the Mute. And he is communicating with everyone through a robot who can speak for him. And he is introducing Colossal Boy as the new teacher for the Legion of Supervillains.
Not the Supervillains.
Yes, the Supervillains. And, of course, Violet is recognizing a few people here. Most notably, she doesn't say it, but Nemesis Kid is very prominent there as the Legion Traitor. Ooh, take a drink, Legion Traitor.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Legion Traitor.
Okay. So, let's see here. And so Violet takes the photon ride back, and she says, yeah, it's Gim, and that's what he's doing. And they're like, wow, he's a legionnaire teaching out of the school for supervillains. What are we waiting for? Let's go take the place apart. Yeah, rah, 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 rah. So they get into a frothing, you know, thing about it. It's like, let me tell you why Big Gim turned traitor. Tarek's holding his parents. And they're like, oh, they get this big, you know, I could have had a V8 moment. Of course, he's being blackmailed. Why didn't we think of that? Okay.
Since it happens every Thursday.
You'd think we would have remembered.
So they put together a plan to go infiltrate the Legion of Supervillains school and rescue the Allens and the Colossal Boy from them. And so it's Superboy, Chameleon Boy, Chemical King, and Timberwolf getting his name changed officially here.
Yes.
From Lone Wolf to Timberwolf. Mm-hmm. And they are going to be embarking on this mission as four super tough dudes who are going to break the law and get the attention of the people who are recruiting for the Legion of Supervillains and hopefully get into the Legion. And sure enough, that's exactly what happens as... I forget what his name is, Superboy's cover name. Marco Malloch and his gang. really? Okay. So the wolf basically plows into a couple people, and Chameleon Boy is using just his stretching abilities to mimic Elastic Lad.
Ooh.
And we have Elastic Lad, you know, Jimmy Olsen. Yeah. Marco Malloch is apparently only going to be in the pool, so no one knows he's Superboy. And then Chemical King is rusting up the officer's ray guns so they can't use them. So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got a whole bunch of people, SPs being laid out. And sure enough, here come the guys to recruit them, and they take them back to the fun. And the first thing the guys see in part two, which is robbing and wrecking and rotten tricks. Wrecking is spelled wrong, Mr. Shearer. Anyway. we see Nemesis Kid taking the head off of a robot while kicking it in twain there. And we see Spider Girl and Radiation Roy battling it out. And we're hearing the Legionnaires talk about, oh, that's Nemesis Kid. He's the Legion traitor who secretly aided alien invaders against the Earth. Like, really? We didn't know that.
And his power of adapting himself to fight any one opponent at a time seems stronger than ever. Look at him take that battle robot apart. And then we see the other two, Spider-Girl and Radiation Roy. Spider-Girl and Radiation Roy, both former Legion applicants who were rejected, but it seems they were accepted here and still hold a grudge against us. Oh, yeah, they hold a grudge for many, many moons, kids.
Yes.
Maybe if you guys weren't such jerks to everybody that gets rejected.
Maybe. You're like, that's Ron Carr, another Legion reject. He can flatten himself to paper thinness, and I recognize others from the police files, and they're studying Karate Kids, Super Karate. And, oh, Lightning Lord. Oh, that's not good. We've got Lightning Lad's brother, Mac, and, of course, he's electrifying some green kryptonite, and Marco Malak's having a hard time trying to stay with it while he's in that room. And then Colossal Boy's in the background. The Legionnaires have not seen him yet, and he's thinking to himself, one of those newcomers is Superboy. The pain on his face when he neared the kryptonite proves it. He's with Timberwolf and Chemical King and somebody else. Chameleon Boy, probably. My old buddies must have the goods on the school for scoundrels. But if they start trouble, Tarek will blame me and smash Mom and Dad. My friends are my folks. There's only one choice I can make. And Gim drops the alarm on them.
Narc.
Yeah. Get them! They're Legionnaires! And so, Lightning Lord, gets Cam right there when he was trying to call for reinforcements. And so Spider-Girl takes Chemical King for a date, so to speak. And Timberwolf gets a pile-on. Yay! Loved that. Superboy versus Nemesis Kid, and Nemesis Kid lays him out with a punch, and then Superboy hits back. And then there's another one, and while Nemesis Kid has a shiner, Superboy is out. So Colossal Boy is going to be rewarded for ratting out his comrades, his ex-comrades. But then he shows them what happens to people who are stupid, and he takes the wonderful guy who was the recruiter and turns him into glass and has... he basically smashes him into 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, So we see the four Legionnaires, well, two Legionnaires and two Academy members in a cell, which, of course, is sealed tight, so Cam can't get out. And there's kryptonite behind the walls, and there's basically no one can do anything to escape. Yay. The standard scenario for superheroes in such a situation. So here comes Tarik the Mute, and he's ready to execute the Legionnaires. And the glass ray is readied, and he points it at Superboy. And there you go. Superboy is dead. Turn to glass.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Again?
Kenny. Well, that was enough to snap Gim out of it. He grows to an amazing height and starts taking people out.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's actually ticked. Timberwolf manages to smack the guy who was near the radio, and he gets reinforcements to come in. And let's see here. The Colossus Boy's trying to get to Tarik and his robot before they manage to get to the Allens. And while they're doing that, Superboy interrupts them. But wait, Superboy's dead, right? Wrong. And Superboy comes in and knocks out Tarik the Mute and his robot. And then here come more Legionnaires, and we see Phantom Girl, Starboy, Ultra Boy, Duo Damsel. Nemesis Kid got beat up by Duo Damsel. Take that, you Karate Kid fans. Oh, hello.
What?
Oh, sorry.
Oh!
Oh, sorry, sorry. Snaps.
How dare you.
And Superboy rips Ron Carr off the wall, which I thought was pretty damn funny.
He's fighting to disguise himself, just like, I'm a poster.
Look at me, I'm a poster of a really nerdy guy. Every high don't need
one. Go on this wall. This is just not going to work. It just doesn't work here. Anyway. So Ultra Boy's like, hey, Superboy, how did you duck the glass doom bit or whatever? And he says, it wasn't me. It was Cam disguised as me. So Cam disguised as Superboy. And then Superboy, he turned into glass Superboy and then dissolved himself into glass bits. Cam can do that. Cam's
really
crazy.
That's impressive.
And then we see that the Allens have been restored to their flesh and blood selves. And presumably, Marte Allen got her bling back from the Legion. And then Ultra Boy hands Chemical King and Timberwolf their diplomas and says, here we are. You guys are both Legionnaires. And so we have two new Legionnaires, Chemical King and Timberwolf.
Yay!
And there we go. The end of the big Legion of Supervillains story for the Adventure Era.
And of course, Ultra Boy is going to go to the police and get the charges dropped because, you know.
Well, that's what he does. He's the leader. He's got to clean that stuff up. So.
Exactly. Exactly. So, fairly short work made of the supervillains.
Yeah.
And still, not the last time we'll see them, folks.
But they were caught with their pants down, literally.
Absolutely.
Well, obviously, it's not the last time we'll see them because they tell us as much in the story.
Yeah, well, this is true. This is true.
This is not the last time you'll see me. Ah!
And, of course, we had the Neil Adams cover. And
Oh, yeah, Neil Adams.
Yeah.
That man. He rocks. Yeah. His covers are excellent.
Never heard of a guy.
Really?
Yeah. So, yeah, no, I like that one. I mean, it's this is one that we would see sort of brought up a lot. And, you know, there's elements from it that stuck around for a very long time. And then there's ones that stuck around for a very short time, like Chemical King. Come on. I mean, how much I think that we'll find that we didn't really see a lot of action with him.
No, we don't. Know?
And
which is why I miss him so much.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He didn't really get a chance.
Well, it's true, and that's what I like about Chemical Kid now is that I think that's sort of a way of okay, well, you know, maybe that was a little bit of a short time, and maybe there's something, you know, because he does have one of the coolest powers.
Yeah. You just have to know how to use it properly.
And I mean, the first great thing to do is pair him off with
Element Lad.
With Element Lad. I mean,
because that makes complete sense.
It's just a perfect pairing for sure.
It is.
But I don't think it surprises me that no one did that. You know?
Yeah. They had one issue, I think, in the Superboy and Legion series where Chemical King stops Element Lad from killing Roxas.
Yes.
But that's about as close as they ever came, but they never really collaborated with each other. It's like that one Shadow Last Night Girl story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it makes perfect sense. So why didn't they do it more often?
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, so some of these you would think would be fairly obvious pairings. And, you know, so they can do their own patented version of the fastball special.
Exactly.
So
first rule of fastball special, don't talk about fastball special.
Nobody talks about fastball special.
No one does.
It's a different company. We're going to get sued.
No. Just Colossus knows a lot about Wolverine that not many people do, except his proctologist.
Because you know, when he's turned to steel, it just goes right through.
Goes right through, baby. Stoink. Should be bowling ball special, really.
That's only if he has a vagina.
He's got a mangina, it's fine.
Oh, mangina.
You ever heard that? You hung around me for how long? You've never heard
I've
that?
Heard mangina before.
Okay.
So rumors, of course, of zero issues coming up.
Because I don't think it's rumored. The reboot wasn't
confusing.
It's announced,
and there's new titles.
There are Phantom Stranger by Dan Didio,
and Brett Anderson.
Now,
hey, I so far have been quite pleased with the stuff that he's written.
Really?
Yeah, me too.
I thought Olmec was fantastic, and
I'm just gonna be reading Phantom Stranger with his voice coming out of it.
Jeez, that's
brutal.
We've
got more Olmec in the DC. EU Presents number zero.
Exactly. And I thought that I quite enjoyed his all too brief arc of Challenges of the Unknown as well. So far I've actually been pretty pleased with the stuff. So I mean, I know people are, you know, I think people just like to slam them. And of course, spinning out of Court of Owls is a new character called Talon.
Looks like that might be fun.
Anti-hero on the run, co-plotted with Scott Snyder and written by James Tynion IV, who has been the co-writer on the Batman backups during the Night of the Owls, Night of Owls or whatever. So it's a new character. So, you know, hey, here's your chance. You know, another, you know, brand new, not another version of a different character, although that remains to be seen, I guess. You know, is this going to be the new Azrael?
Well, there was a Talon in the Earth 3 stuff in that series we don't talk about.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly.
Another series coming out will be called Sword of Sorcery.
That one I'm very interested in.
And Amethyst.
It's got a Legion connection, possibly. So.
Well, absolutely. Amethyst is the character. Art by Aaron Lopresti, and it's written by Christy Marks, who was the creator of Gem and the Holograms.
So I'm talking outrageous.
Truly, truly outrageous.
Indeed. And the backup story is at least at launch, will be a story about Beowulf and Grendel, written by Tony Bedard with art by Jesus Saiz.
The only thing Christy Marks could write that's probably better than this, in my opinion, would be Dazzler.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. That's only Dazzler from like 30 years ago.
Totally.
Disco
Dazzler,
since.
Totally, yeah. A flashback. I concede to that.
The Phantom Stranger, the aforementioned Phantom Stranger series, written by Didio with art by Brent Anderson, and just basically spins out of where he's been with Justice League, and of course.
And I think that title's going to be kind of important for
what's coming up.
So.
I almost get the impression that it's not necessarily intended to be a long-running series, you know what I mean? Like, I think it's setting wheels in motion.
I agree.
So, of course, we'll see about his biblical ties and connection to Pandora. Team 7, this one I thought looked kind of interesting as well. Team 7. There was an old Wildstorm book, I believe, called Team 7.
Yes, there was.
Yeah. So this is a group of folks that basically, it's set in the early days of the DCU, so it kind of tells us a bit of that story of what was going on at the time. And so the emergence of Superman touched off the formation of countermeasures against superheroes. And so it's going to be written by a guy named Justin Jordan and art by Jesus Marino. So I guess it's a full new creative team over on Superman. And basically this is a team that is comprised of Amanda Waller, Dinah Lance, Steve Trevor, John Lynch, Alex Fairchild, Cole Cash, and Slade Wilson. So that's Grifter, the last two being Grifter and Deathstroke, of course. Mm-hmm. Alex Fairchild, I'm going to assume is Caitlin Fairchild's father.
Yep.
Sure, why not?
John Lynch, I'm not sure about.
John Lynch was the guy who basically, he was basically running 1013.
Yep.
He was the sort of master dude.
Gotcha.
Wasn't he related to Stormwatch somehow?
Not that I can think of, okay. But I could be wrong.
I could be confused.
Sounds like a really messed up group. I can't wait to see Canary and Slade Wilson in a room together.
Well, yeah, and you know, we've been seeing some stuff in what's it called? Birds of Prey, talking about Dinah's past and
about how she killed the dude.
Yeah, exactly. And so those ones are coming out and I did go through all the Team 7. I think I covered all of the new books. There are apparently four titles that are going to be canceled, and I'm Just trying to see if it was any
JLI is one of them. I know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that was solicited as final issue. So they kind of play a cagey with that, but at one point, but anyway, so. So basically, every season or every wave, they'll be putting out new books that put in fresh material and new creative teams. And so there's always books being developed. And so he says, you know, we might be developing 8 books. You might only have 4 slots. But we like to do it that way.
Yeah, that's cool. Says,
that's how we roll. Yeah. So he actually, it's interesting. He actually said, when he talks about Sword of Sorcery, he kind of looks at that as excuse me, an anthology book in the same vein as All Star Western. If you're gonna base on a model of something, I think All Star Western is one to go with, because you've had that lead feature that's consistent. That's, you know, it's always Jonah Hex, and then it's the backup feature. Sorry, the co-feature. That is. Although I'll admit, and I'm loving the Jonah Hex stories, but the Nighthawk and Cinnamon stories that were in a couple of the recent issues were fantastic, and I even enjoyed them more than the main feature.
Pardon me for talking out of school for old continuity, but are Nighthawk and Cinnamon Hawkman and Hawkgirl?
I don't.
Or are they
so.
Leaving that alone?
However, actually, there may be a connection. Because I think that whole sort of resurrection thing has been taken off the table.
Good.
With Hawkman. And I've not read beyond issue 2 of the current Hawkman series.
I haven't read past issue 1, so you're ahead of me.
So yeah, and the first two, they were just incomprehensible.
Painful.
Yeah. So I'm not sure where that's at. However, they do have these amulets that give them strength and healing power that they got from a couple of like they found basically some buried. I think it was Mayans or something.
Oh,
like that.
Mayans.
So these Mayan necklaces. I don't remember completely, but
those pesky Mayans.
But it gives them, you know, healing powers and strength and all this kind of stuff. And so we actually saw them. I enjoyed that story immensely. And as great as the Hex story was that it was backing up, I thought it was even a bit better. And so yeah, that one's, you know, that's a good model to work on, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess,
could totally see like Amethyst with the. Arak and Orion.
Yeah, yeah, and that's
Warlord and the sword and sorcery characters that DC owns should kind of go together, in my humble
opinion.
Yeah, and he talks about like there was an old Beowulf series that DC did years ago, and that
and Starfire, not the Titan Starfire, but there was a Red Sonja like Starfire character for a while in the Explosion, as I recall.
And the Night Slayer.
You're thinking Nightmaster. Nightmaster.
So that's good, yeah.
Yeah. He had a sword. He was mystic. Yeah, he could fit.
Claw the Unconquered's.
Oh, Claw the Unconquered. Awesome.
Claw. Claw decides who lives and who will go. Claw.
Claw.
Oh, man. Yeah, so I was looking up John Lynch, and I can't really find anything on character. There seems to be a lot of disambiguation.
Yeah. I would say if on the Sword of Sorcery, if they're not in Demon Knights, throw them into that book there.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair. I guess
how I would default. I'm still waiting for. Has Blue Devil shown up in the new reboot yet?
I do not believe so.
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. I like Blue Devil. I wish they would bring him back. So hopefully eventually.
So yeah, so
I was hoping he would wind up in Justice League Dark at some point, but
yeah,
we're getting Black Orchid back, so yay.
Yeah,
so.
Which is cool.
Looking forward to it.
And so. Lemire's doing it, so I feel good about that. So John Lynch has actually been in a lot of stuff. He was, of course, as Scott mentioned, Gen 13, the original Team 7 book. So I guess he's the one connection to that. Sleeper and Wildcats.
And the sweeper was what I was thinking of.
I wasn't familiar with him, but now they say that he's drawn to look like Clint Eastwood, basically.
Yeah.
But he's kind of an homage to Nick Fury.
Someone has to be, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Is that kind of what they're trying to do with Steve Trevor, make him Nick Fury? Is that kind of the deal with him?
Well, not anymore, because they made another guy, Nick Fury, who happens to look a lot like Sam Jackson.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, there's a really funny Gutters comic about that. They did a little bit about it. There was a story called Battle Scars. And they found a long-lost illegitimate son of Nick Fury's that happened to be black. And, oh, gosh, this happens, and then he gets his eye gouged out. Oh, no. Oh, but then S.H.I.E.L.D. offers him a job, and they decide to make him the boss. And then they give him Steve Trevor's...
I wish that happened to me.
Then they give him seriously,
the
right?
boss right away.
Right away.
So I'm so oversimplifying, but
yes, this is
basically the way that the strip goes. I'm sure it was a lot of fairly expedient plotting, though. So it's like, what can we do so that the 616 Marvel Universe has a Nick Fury that looks just like the guy in the movie?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
You know, it's
called expedient story writing.
You know what? It's like, you know what, guys? You don't get to make fun of expedient trying to make it just like that storytelling now after doing that. So he was involved with a whole bunch of the, sort of the intelligence force during the Image days. And I think it also, they tied into to Wetworks at some point as well. Ew. Oh, and of course, Deathblow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sorry, I had to laugh. Let me guess. That's a 1990s book, is it?
Yeah. Oh, and in the Gen
13. How did I guess that?
In the Gen 13.
I just want to see the Deathblow.
Yeah, that's right. That's another Seinfeld reference. That's right. In the Gen 13 animated movie, his voice was provided by John DeLancey.
Darren's friend.
Of course it was. He's not my friend.
And that's the guy you want to bring back then. And he'll be part of that team. And this all kind of starts to, when you have had all the people talking about zero issues and stuff,
it's the favorite thing ever for like people who are completists. It's like, how do you file a zero issue?
Before one.
Yeah.
Order of publication.
Before one.
Yeah. That's the way that's the way your collecting software will file it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's true.
But in this case, I think it's actually intended to be that way. So what they're looking at doing is just basically, you know, here's something that gives you a bit from the background, and something that gives the writers a chance to sort of plant a seed in the background that they can use now. So maybe they'll talk about Bruce Wayne's School of Robins.
Ooh.
Okay. Which really?
you have to explain why they're all around.
I'm sorry, Bruce Wayne. You should have been investigated by a couple of people by now. I'm sorry. Just saying.
Indeed. So, the Zero Month is not about just about origins, although there will be some, apparently, if he says not just about. So standalone stories that tell something from the history of the team or character from before the relaunch. So I guess that means that Blue Beetle's will be kind of dull because he wasn't Blue Beetle before that. I'm just saying.
Tell me about how Jaime was skipping school and, you know, striking gang colors.
That's racist.
Sarcasm is lost on you, Kramer.
and you apparently, George. I mean,
Elaine.
So DC Universe Presents Zero will feature 4 10-page stories that focus on the untold history of Hawk and Dove, OMAC, Mr. Terrific, and
all the books that were canceled.
Yes, yeah, basically. Yeah.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, and Mother Machine, which I guess is a Black Hawks thing.
Get a chance to wrap up. That's yep. Fine.
And of course we mentioned the new series, and then there's the Trinity War, which will it will obviously be the war with Phantom Stranger, the New Question, and Pandora, and so yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of seeds planted for that in Phantom Stranger.
Probably. Yeah.
And.
Speaking of really, it's not comic booky, but it's comic book characters. Young Justice, I think, has wrapped up its latest season, and it went out really well this season.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. So if you haven't seen it yet, stay off the internet and go watch it.
For some of us, that's the only way we can watch it.
I know, and I'm sorry about that. I feel for
so
you.
It's
really
all
do.
Your fault, Darren.
It is my fault. Everything is my fault. That has been pointed out multiple times today, so don't worry.
Oh, dear. So, yes. Lots coming up. Lots coming up. And so I'll be interested to see. I wonder if then the... the zero issues of Legion of Superheroes and Legion Lost.
Do we think Legion Lost is going to go away? And we'll...
I wonder. I wonder if this is sort of a way, this whole time bubble thing, you know, having them lost in time for a little bit, and then is a good way to get them back. Mm-hmm. Hard to say. It's hard to
yeah.
say. The other one, and of course, I guess, you know, we know that there was a bit of a gap, and it was kind of an awkward gap between the last issue of the Legion series, and so if the two of those are part of this, do they do sort of a story that bridges both titles, that shows sort of what happened between the whole fight with Earthman and the Blue Baby?
Well, I hope that would be what's in the Zero, would be a how the Legion Losties got lost, maybe.
Yeah, although we kind of know that,
but we also don't know what the big deal was, where Quizlet is. There's still some low-hanging fruits there.
Yeah.
You know,
so. Yeah, exactly. So I guess they'll need to. So they'll be probably using this opportunity to resolve some of that stuff and maybe set something else up upcoming. But yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see. You know, if Legion Lost survives as a title. And,
yeah.
Still no further confirmation on the whole Scott Collins rumor for Legion of Superheroes. But solicits come out soon, don't they?
Probably within the next... I think 20th, probably
3 weeks. There'll probably be some announcements at Heroes. So.
Yeah, well, yeah, and I mean it's clear that they PR'd the Zero issues just to basically sort of set things up for the solicit. So I'm sure we're going to be seeing those soon, and it'll probably give us an idea of sort of what the direction is for both titles over the next little bit, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens in bringing a new artist to the table in Legion of Superheroes. It'd be nice to see if Legion Lost is going to stay around, it would be nice to see them kind of figure out their feet there and anything that keeps them away from the calling. You know, his first issue really did a lot, was doing a lot to just sort of like, let's just get rid of this whole Alastor thing and just move on from that.
Yeah.
Which off the top, I don't really have a problem with.
My only regret is that they didn't solve the infectious last issue, which hoping that they would do. But you know,
it's not over yet.
Yeah.
No. Well, no. But
I wonder. You know, given that
they're in the future now, Fabian Nicieza solved that in the 20th century. So
Fabian Nicieza seemed more likely to do that kind of thing, being an old school Legion fan.
Yeah.
I don't get the same. I don't. You know, I doubt very much that you know, I mean, DeFalco even said that he you know, didn't know much about the Legion beforehand. So,
yeah, and that's dangerous. So,
yeah. So,
Mr. Levitz, you're our only hope.
So,
unless he's willing to put in the research, you know.
Yeah, well, and that's fair. I mean, you know, yeah, maybe he maybe that actually makes it more likely to pull in stuff like that, where it's like, okay, so, you know, because it becomes top of mind for him.
Yeah,
exactly. In researching the title. So, yeah, no, jury's still out on that. I mean, he's had a couple of, you know, he had one decent issue, and then a couple of crossover issues, less decent.
Yeah, we'll give him complete benefit of the doubt now to do his own thing. So,
yeah, it will be interesting to see where that ends up. So,
yep.
Anyway, anyone got anything else?
No,
don't believe so.
I think we'll pass.
All right then. Comments, as always, are welcome at Legion of Substitute Podcasters at gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter. We are LOSP Podcast. You can find us on the Facebook, facebook.legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com. You can join in the forum. That is forum.legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com. And in addition to all those things, you can head over to our website, www.legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com, and you can leave a comment on this or any episode. And with that, we make our way back into the time bubble, and we will see you all next week.
It's gold, Jerry.